Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, if you would. Romans 10. We enjoyed being at Grace Baptist Church this morning with Pastor Naya. I was going to call it a Spanish church, but I guess it's both English and Spanish there. And a few weeks ago, we were at a Spanish church in the morning and an English church that night. And on our way to the church that evening, my six-year-old son, Ethan, he said, "Are they going to speak Spanish or are they going to speak regular?" And so that's all he knows, I guess, Spanish and regular. And so actually the family we're staying with, Yar and Evelina, I'm not going to try to say their last name, but we're staying with them, and they speak Russian to their daughter. And so yesterday one of my sons said, "I don't understand what they're saying. It sounds like they're speaking Spanish." I said, "No, it's Russian." And so, but anyways, we're going to look at here in Romans chapter 10. Why don't you stand if you would, if you're able to. I'm going to read a few verses, and we'll get into the message this evening. Romans 10 and verse number 12 there. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, for this great privilege we have to gather in your house this evening. We thank you for the good music service we've enjoyed, Lord, and worshiping you through song. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me now as I preach your word. I pray that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me exactly the words to say that I need to say this evening. Help each and every person here this evening, Lord, to listen to your word and to receive it as it's preached, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'll not only hear it, but be doers of the word. And Lord, we desire to give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In 1991, I'm hearing a little bit of a vibration. Do you hear that, Pastor? I don't know if I hear that. In 1991, there was the Olympics there, and there was a runner from Tanzania that was running in the Olympics. And early on, and he was running in this marathon in the Olympics there, and early on in this marathon, he ended up falling, and he ended up injuring one of his knees. And so because of that, he couldn't run very fast, and he was in a lot of pain, and he was perspiring, and he couldn't, of course, he was the very last runner in this race. In fact, he was several hours behind the next runner in front of him. And so he was, decided to continue running his race. And so, of course, the first runners came through, and many of the other runners came through. And this runner kept running. And as he was rounding the turn towards the finish line there, he saw, a lot of the people there in the stands saw this runner coming towards them. And many of them, they got up, started cheering for him, and they started cheering for him to finish the race there. And some of the people there in the stands probably wondered, why is this runner still running this race? Why didn't he just drop out and quit and maybe in a few years try again? But this runner ended up finishing his race that day. Then afterwards, he was asked the question, what made you finish your race today? Why didn't you just go home, and why didn't you just give up? What made you finish? And he said, my country, Tanzania, they didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. He said they sent me 7,000 miles to finish the race. And this young man, I don't know how old he was, but he finished his race that day. The truth is that each and every one of us, we've been given a race in the Christian life, haven't we? The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul talks about the Christian life as a race, and we're running the race in the Christian life. Tonight, I want to talk about specifically finishing the mission of getting the gospel around the world. Many of us, we've started getting the gospel around the world, whether it's here in this area or all over the world by being involved in sending out others to preach the gospel. But the truth is, there's still millions, even billions, that are not reached with the gospel. We need to do our part to get the gospel out all over the world and preach the gospel and finish the mission as God has given to us. Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. That means that until every creature at least has heard the gospel, that we're not done with the mission that God has given to us. Right? It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse number 10, it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Isn't that an amazing testimony that the Apostle Paul was able to preach the gospel to everyone in that part of the world at that particular time? It doesn't say they all got saved, but it does say they all at least heard the gospel. What an amazing testimony. You know, I think it'd be great if it said that, you know, everyone here in Rosemount heard the gospel. Doesn't mean that they'll all get saved, but at least hear the gospel or get invited to First Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in Uduway hears the gospel? Truth is, we need to do our part to finish the mission that God has given to us. We're going to look at why we haven't finished the mission that God has given to us. Four different reasons, and of course, they're right out of the text here, Romans 10. First of all, I want us to see here, Romans 10, verse 12 there. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Here we see that God's not a respecter of persons, that anybody can be saved, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're quote-unquote religious, or you say, you know what, you know, I've done some horrible things in my life. Anybody can be saved. Praise God for that. Then look in verse 13, a verse that we all probably know, especially if you've done any amount of soul winning or witnessing. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I was talking to a young man this last Monday. Our church has a small Spanish ministry, and on Mondays they go soul winning. And actually, it wasn't this last Monday, a week ago this last Monday. And I met a teenager named Ethan, my son's name, and I began talking with him about the gospel. And I showed him this verse. And I said, "Ethan, this verse says, 'For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" And I explained to him that that meant him, that if he called upon the name of the Lord, that he would be saved. And I explained that this was a promise of God, that, you know, God promises that if you call upon his name, that you'll be saved. And praise the Lord, he did call, and he got saved and trusted in Christ. Of course, I don't know his heart, but he did pray to trust in Christ. But so if God wants people to be saved, and he says here that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, why are there still many, many people that are not reached with the gospel? We're going to look at that this evening. The first question we see there, Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Why haven't we finished the mission that God has given to us? We see here, first of all, there's the unbelief of many. The unbelief of many. There's so many people that either they don't believe in God, or they believe in God and they add other things, they add works, they add a religion, they add other things to the gospel. There's the unbelief of so many. That's the first reason we see here that we haven't finished the mission of getting out the gospel. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Many of you know that verse. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe" what? "That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So many people don't believe in God or add other things to the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4, if you would. Hold your place there in Romans 10. 2 Corinthians 4. We see here that Satan has blinded so many people to the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. Verse number 3 there. I'll just read it. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Notice it says, if our gospel's hid, it is hid to the lost. And notice in verse 4, the god of this world hath blinded their minds. And of course, that's lowercase g because, of course, it's talking about Satan. He's blinded the minds of so many people. And maybe there's people that you've met and you've tried to invite to First Baptist Church, or you've tried to give them a gospel tract, and they'll say, you know what, well, you have your religion and I have mine, or you have your belief and I have mine, and they say, you know what, I'm not really interested in that. Sadly, Satan has probably blinded their minds to the truth of the gospel, and they don't want to listen to the gospel. They're in Uruguay, like I said, a very secular country. At least 50% of the people there claim to be either atheist or agnostic. So they say either they don't believe in God or they're not really sure if there is a God. The Bible says in Psalms 53, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Right? It's foolish not to believe that there is a God. And these are people that Satan has blinded their minds to the truth. There's others in Uruguay that are trusting in a religion to save them. And there's a religion there in Uruguay called Umbanda. And it's just a small percentage of the people. I think just 1 or 2, maybe 3% of the people that believe in this. But it's growing rapidly every year. And it's just a combination of all these different religions. There's Catholicism and Spiritism, I believe animism, all these different isms in this religion. And many of them, they believe that they can speak with their dead ancestors. Some of them believe that they can be reincarnated. But many of them, they're trusting their religion to save them. Maybe you know people that they're trusting in a religion. By the way, First Baptist Church can't take you to heaven any more than the church down the road can take you to heaven. I don't know what church is down the road from here, but it doesn't matter. No church can take you to heaven. Only relationship with Jesus Christ. There's also in Uruguay a third group of people that say they believe in God, but without religion. You know, they believe that there's a higher power. They believe that there's a God out there, or there's some type of spiritual force, a vague spiritual force out there. But they don't want to be a part of a church. They don't want to follow the teachings of the Word of God. They don't want to be in an organized church. Sadly, I believe these people are probably not saved. At least many of them are probably not saved because simply believing that there is a God isn't enough. That man I met, that teenager I met a couple weeks ago, tomorrow, he knew about God, and his parents were Catholic, and he knew some of the verses that I showed him. He had heard about that, but he had told me that there had never been a time when he had put his trust in Christ to save them. He was trusting in his works to save him. There must be a time when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. So there's the unbelief of many. Then secondly, look in Romans 10:14, the second question there. It says, I'll read it from the beginning there. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The second question, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So why haven't we finished the mission that God has given to us? Secondly, we see the unfamiliar message. The gospel is an unfamiliar message to many people around the world. Over 2 billion people have never heard the gospel one time. 2 billion people. It's a staggering number. I've even heard higher numbers than that. According to this place called Wycliffe Bible Translators, there are at least 1,600 languages that do not have a copy of the Word of God in their language. We're blessed, aren't we, that we have the Word of God in English, and of course we have it in Spanish where we're going there in Uruguay. But so many people do not have a copy of the Word of God in their language. Many of us have multiple copies of the Word of God, and we have apps on our phone, and we have apps on our computers, and we have, you know, Bibles gathering dust in our libraries at home. Well, people all over the world do not have access even to a single page of the Word of God in their language. Praise the Lord, I know several missionaries in different places that are working hard to try to translate the Word of God into these tongues that do not have the Word of God. The truth is, it's an unfamiliar message to so many people. Look in Romans 10:17 there. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God. Right? It's through the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and the reading of a John and Romans and a gospel tract that people will at least read that, and many times will get saved after reading that. Faith comes by hearing through and hearing by the Word of God. But so many people do not have the Word of God in their language, like I said. And also, there are at least 2,000 tribes around the world that are without the gospel, 2,000 tribes. And many of these tribes do not have a missionary trying to reach them. Many of them do not have the word of God in their language. And listen to this, there are even some people who've never even heard the name of Jesus. That's hard to imagine, isn't it, that there are people around this world who've never heard the name of Jesus. The people all over the world, 2,000 tribes. And I believe that the average person there in Uruguay, called Uruguayans, correct me if I'm wrong on that, Brother Pope, but an average Uruguayan is just like some of those people in those tribes that I just mentioned. And you just saw our video, and you saw a nice modern city. Most of what you saw was the capital city and then some of the other cities around there. But many of those people have just gone their entire lives and never really come to church, never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. The kids, many of them do not grow up in Sunday school hearing Bible stories. And so therefore, you know, they just grow up knowing basically basically nothing about the Bible. Now, I was talking with a missionary there, I think it was last summer, and he had a 43-year-old man come visit his church for the first time. And he said that that was that man's first time being in any church in his entire life. A middle-aged man has gone his entire life, never gone to church. And just imagine how different your life would be if you never had that opportunity to come to church. Praise God, we have a good church to go to on a Sunday night, and we're able to hear the preaching of the Word of God and worship God at church, but so many people do not have that opportunity. And so I mentioned all these different numbers about people that are not reached with the gospel and people there in Uruguay that are not reached with the gospel. And I don't know about you, but when I hear 2 billion people that are not reached with the gospel, that can be a little depressing, can't it? I can begin to think, how are we ever going to be able to reach 2 billion people with the gospel? It's probably even more than that. How are we ever going to be able to reach all these people with the gospel? Now, I remember hearing a story about this man, and he was a writer, and early every morning, he would get up, and he would walk along a beach, and that's where he could gather his thoughts before he began his day of writing. And one day, he got up early, as he normally did, and he began walking on the beach there, and he looked way off in the distance, and he saw this little boy walking towards him. And every few moments, that little boy would reach down and pick something up and throw it into the water. And that little boy kept doing that over and over and over again. Finally, that little boy got close enough to where he could hear that old man. And that old man called out to that little boy. And he said, "Hey, young man," he said, "what are you doing?" The little boy looked back and he said, "Well, don't you see?" He said, "A storm came through last night. And a storm washed all these starfish on the beach here. And I'm trying to save all these starfish. I'm trying to throw these starfish in the water." And that old man, he looked in this direction, and he saw starfish as far as the eye could see. Same thing in this direction. He looked at that little boy, and he said, "Young man," he said, "there's got to be tens of thousands of starfish here." He said, "You can work as hard as you can, and you can try to save all these starfish," he said, but "I'm afraid you're not going to be able to make much of a difference. I'm afraid you're not going to be able to save all these starfish." That little boy didn't listen to that old man, and he just reached down and picked up another starfish, threw it into the water. He said, "Well, it made a difference to that one." He said, "It made a difference to that starfish. That starfish lived instead of died here on the beach." I think it's the same way with the gospel. We can hear about millions, billions of people who've never heard the gospel, but we simply need to do our part to try to reach one, and then another, and then another, with a lost coworker, a lost neighbor, a lost relative. Let's just try to reach one and then another. There's a song called "Just One More Soul." In the chorus it says, "'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul, just one more soul." You know, if we go to Uruguay, and if we only see one soul saved there in Uruguay, you know, I believe that it'll all be worth it. And you might think that, you know, all that time on deputation, we've been on deputation basically about 3 years now, a little over 3 years, and, you know, in the car with three perfectly behaved kids, right? all the time, and I just asked my wife about that. And and all the time in deputation and language school that's coming up after this, and you say it'll all be worth it. You know, I believe it'll all be worth it if one soul gets saved. Of course, we want to reach as many people as possible, but it'll all be worth it if one soul gets saved. There's the unbelief. I know I got to hurry here. There's the unbelief of many, the unfamiliar message. Then thirdly, there in Romans 10, verse 14, the last part of the verse there, it says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The third reason we see here that we haven't finished the mission is there's the undersupply of messengers. Simply not enough laborers, not enough missionaries, not enough nationals that are sent out to preach the gospel around the world. Of course, God says, he says, pray for more laborers. That's what he's told his disciples in Matthew 9. You know, I don't call missionaries. A man doesn't call missionaries. It's the Holy Spirit that will call laborers. And let's pray for more laborers. And then look at Romans 10:15 there. It says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Except they be sent. And the fourth reason we haven't finished the mission is the unsent missionaries. The unsent missionaries. You know, not enough laborers have been sent out to preach the gospel. Like I said, it's the Holy Spirit who calls laborers. And then lastly, the last point I want to make is that we need to send out missionaries all around the world. In Acts 1, in verse number 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." Both. I think the key word there in that verse is the word both. Both, that means at the same time, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, or part of the earth. That means basically we're supposed to reach both where we are and where we're not, right? The entire world. We're responsible for reaching the entire world. Each and every Christian simply needs to ask the Lord to help them to do their part to reach others with the gospel. Let's be involved in sending out others to preach the gospel. Let's be involved in reaching our Jerusalem right here in this area and then Rosemount and the surrounding area right here. Let's be involved in helping get out the gospel around the world. I believe that that's how we'll reach this world with the gospel. At least make sure that every single person has an opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, imagine if other people helped that little boy who was throwing the starfish in the back into the water. Imagine if that old man helped him, and if the preacher that was sitting on the beach there decided to help him, and imagine if other people decided to help that little boy to save these starfish. Imagine how many more starfish would have been saved. Imagine if each and every Christian here at First Baptist Church and in Minnesota and in Wisconsin and all over the world decided that they were going to do their part in getting out the gospel. Imagine how many more people would be saved, how many more people would be reached, how many more churches would be started, how many more lives would be saved, how many more missionaries would be sent out, and how the gospel would go to the entire world. Let's simply ask the Lord to help us to do our part and just reach one soul at a time. Each one can reach one. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this passage here in Romans 10. And we thank you for this promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We saw several reasons on why people aren't reached. Help each and every Christian here at First Baptist Church simply to endeavor to do their part to get out the gospel. We can't do everything. We're all limited in certain areas, but we can do something. Help us to ask you to help us to do our part to get out the gospel and know that you'll bless us. In Jesus' name, Pastor.